ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो आई वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट्स फॉर टुडेज संडे फेस्टिवल प्रोग्राम। आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू बी बैक एट श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर चौपाटी for this wonderful, glorious Sunday festival. Today I am going to speak on the topic, challenges on the path of bhakti, challenges on the path of devotional service, the difficulties and the obstacles a practicing devotee may face in the course of his practice of bhakti. And I'm going to take a theme from Ramayana, which is very interesting. And we'll see the different lessons which we can learn. So, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had given one class on this aspect. And also, there are some commentaries available in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Govindaraj commentary and His Grace Nityananda Prabhu, who is one of our brahmacharis in the temple, gave me some points from these commentaries. So we will see some very wonderful lessons which we can learn in the practice of bhakti. So the story is in the Sundar Kand of Hanumanji's jumping across the ocean to Lanka and search for Sita Devi in the land of Ravan, in the land of Lanka. So all of us are aware of this story, that Sita Devi, Sri Ramchandra Ji and Lakshman were in the forest near Nasik, and then Ravana came and kidnapped Sita Devi. So the Acharyas are giving commentary that when the soul desires to enjoy independent of Krishna, he is immediately captured and put into conditioned state. So Sita Devi was serving Lord Ramchandra, and then Marij came in the form of a golden deer, and that golden deer was so attractive, and Lord Ram went searching for the golden deer, and that was the moment when Ravan came. So Ravan is compared here to the conditioned mind, and although Sita is the goddess of fortune, to make a philosophical point, this entire pastime is compared to how the soul is trapped by the influence of the conditioned mind and held captive in the body, which is like Lanka. So the soul is put into a body, material body, and then the soul is suffering in separation from the Supreme Lord. But what the soul should also be aware is the Supreme Lord Ram is also suffering in separation from the soul. And therefore, he makes arrangements to redeem and deliver the soul from this entrapment. And the arrangement he makes is he sends his chosen representative to travel across the ocean and somehow get the message across to the soul. And then this representative of the Supreme Lord is the Guru or the Acharya. And therefore in the Sundar Kand of Ramayana, Hanumanji represents the Acharya or the perfect behavior of a great soul who is a representative of the Supreme Lord, who is on a mission carrying the message of Lord to the soul and to investigate what is the condition of the soul and how eager the soul is to reunite with the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the Supreme Lord, He has great love for the soul. The soul is suffering in separation from the Lord. So the representative of the Lord delivers the Lord's message to the soul and takes the soul's message back to the Lord, and in this way acts as the perfect medium between the two. And in the course of doing this, He teaches us various lessons of what ideal behavior and character in the practice of devotional service should be like. So in the Ramayana, all of us are aware that the army of monkeys was supporting Sri Ramchandra ji. So Lord Ram was assisted by this huge monkey army, and it is described that there were hundreds and thousands of monkeys, bears, and all kinds of animals of the same species in Lord Ram's army to assist him in this campaign. And to give us some idea about what are the numbers involved in the Ramayana, a whole detailed description of the numbers is given. A few years back in Ramayana, during Ram Navami lecture, I was describing that very interesting statistics which Valmiki Ramayana describes about how many monkeys were actually there in this huge army of Lord Ram. And if you understand and appreciate that, then we can really know the glory of Hanumanji, who was the chosen one amongst all of them. So to give us some idea about the number of monkeys, Rishi Valmiki actually gives us a new method of counting, because only then you can actually count the numbers. So all of us have experience of counting up to lakh and crore. And beyond that it becomes difficult to comprehend. So he says that 1 lakh crore is known as 1 shankhu. 1 lakh shankhu is known as 1 mahashankhu. 1 lakh mahashankhu is called 1 vrinda. 1 lakh vrinda is called 1 padma. 1 lakh padma is called 1 mahapadma. 1 lakh mahapadma is called 1 kharva. 1 lakh kharva is called 1 mahakharva. We are not yet over. 1 lakh mahakharva is called 1 samudra. 1 lakh samudra is called 1 ogha. And 1 lakh ogha is called 1 maha ogha. And Lord Ramchandra's army had 100 crore maha ogha monkeys. I think we got the idea. It's inconceivable. And you can understand the glory of Lord Ram, that he was managing so many monkeys. Monkeys are not easy to manage. As they say in Hindi, that bandar to chhalang lagayega hi. That whatever you do, the monkey cannot stop from jumping. Even if you train the monkey to sit quiet, he'll sit quiet for some time, and when you're looking that side, boom, he'll just make a somersault and sit. So difficult to control. And Lord Ram was taking a soldiers of 100 maha ogha monkeys. So I generally quote this and say that so many people claim to be God. So if they really claim to be God, they should be given 5 monkeys to handle. And here is the Supreme Lord who had this massive army. And out of these monkeys, he decided to select one person who was very special, and that is Hanumanji. So all of us know that Hanumanji was the only person who was capable of jumping across the 100 yojan. So Hanumanji, he expands his size, takes the blessings of all the assembled vanaras there, and then he makes the jump. And the power of his jump is so powerful and so strong that volcanic eruptions come out from the mountains. And by the force of his travel, the waves of the ocean lash up to the sky. And Hanumanji is assisted by his father, Vayudev, in this journey. And as Hanumanji travels, the first obstacle comes forth. And that is a beautiful golden mountain whose name is Mainak. So this beautiful golden mountain comes up in front of Hanumanji. And the personification of this mountain folds his hands and requests Hanumanji that I am a dear friend of your father Vayudev. He assisted me in protecting my wings against the attack of Indra. So therefore I have a great desire to assist you and help you. So please, you take some rest on my beautiful form. And this golden form was presented right to Hanumanji. And Hanumanji was going ahead with full swing. And this was a very attractive proposal. But Hanumanji just touched the form of Mainak, folded his hands and said, thank you very much, but I have a mission to accomplish and I cannot stop here. And he proceeded ahead. So this is the first challenge which a devotee has to face in his spiritual life. And we will discuss four such challenges in the course of this jump. And the first challenge is with regards to one's sadhana. So the first challenge all of us face is as far as our sadhana of Krishna consciousness is concerned, hearing and chanting. And the challenge is that when we begin our Krishna conscious practice, we are very enthusiastic, we are very determined to reach the goal. But as we begin this process, after some time, there is a danger of becoming complacent. So the first challenge is with respect to sadhana, and the danger is complacency. Complacency means taking things easy. And this golden mountain represents this fact that why you have to struggle so hard, why you cannot take some rest, relax a little. And therefore, this tendency may crop up within the mind and one may start feeling that maybe I have been chanting too much, too strongly, too early in the morning, and therefore I am having difficulties. And many times the association we keep in the outside world also doesn't help, because when we are interacting with people outside, they also become sometimes critical about our chanting. It could be close relatives, it could be friends, it could be colleagues in the office. And many times people make comment, why are you continuously chanting Hare Krishna? At least give Krishna some rest. Don't chant so much. Don't get up so early in the morning. And therefore, over a period of time, the intensity with which we take shelter of the Holy Name and the Srimad Bhagavatam is not as strong as when we begin the process of bhakti, because gradually we start relaxing. One more reason is that the tendency of the conditioned soul is he's always hankering for distinction. And he wants to be noticed. And therefore, sadhana is a very internal aspect of our devotional service. And many times when we perform various services, the results which come out of these services are perceivable externally and can be seen. And therefore, a devotee starts getting some recognition, some respect, some distinction. And because we are conditioned by our false ego, we start thinking that this is the area to invest in because we are getting something in return. Because the conditioned soul is not used to receiving reciprocation from Krishna, he tends to take the reciprocation and the feedback from the people of this world very seriously. And therefore, activities which will help him get this get more attention than activities which are intrinsically internal by nature and may not be directly perceivable. And therefore, one becomes less intense in his internal sadhana of hearing and chanting, because whether I chant attentively or not, nobody will come to know. Whether I hear regularly and take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam or read regularly, not many people will come to know. Therefore, why should I put so much of energy in taking shelter of these activities? And therefore, one gradually becomes complacent. And because people are also glorifying us for the results of our other services, so we start putting more attention and intensity in those activities. And therefore the sadhana takes a back seat. And gradually we become complacent. But the only difficulty is, as a result of this complacency, gradually the anarthas which we had managed to push down for some time again start coming up, and we become disturbed by these. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that an eagle may flap his wings to fly for some time, and then it may stop flapping its wings and may glide. But how long can the eagle keep gliding? So after some time, again, the eagle has to start flapping its wings. So similarly, we hear and chant, and then everything becomes smooth for some time, but then we think that it's going to go on smoothly like this. But no, we have to keep flapping, keep struggling. And therefore, constant struggle is required in pushing ourselves from within. And we should be concerned about our internal development and growth, and that has to be something which we have to be introspective about ourselves. Therefore, one of the most difficult thing to do is to keep focus and attention on our sadhana in the long run, because complacency overpowers us so easily. If you hear Srila Prabhupada's japa tips, you will always hear him saying one thing now and then. What is that? Sit properly. Sit properly. Prabhupada would say that. And in fact, there was a discussion on the Wincom, and there were different devotees who were discussing who was that person Prabhupada was saying sit properly. Because it was just one japa session which happened, and that was recorded. And that's what is famous all over. So one devotee said, it was me. Another devotee said, no, it was me. And then one more devotee said, I met one man in LA who had left the movement, and he met me at the airport distributing books, and he told me, you remember that japa tape? It was me. Even after leaving the movement, he is saying that it was me. So generally, if someone is chastised, then they would like to forget it. But because Srila Prabhupada was correcting with love and compassion, and because he wanted devotees to improve their japa and their sadhana, so devotees remember this very fondly. And therefore, this sadhana is a very important aspect of our Krishna conscious practice. And sometimes it appears to be a little burdensome, especially if you have rounds pending at night, and you have not finished the rounds in the morning, and then we lay out the bed, and the bed is waiting for us, and we see so many rounds are remaining, and the whole beads appear to be like hang knot, and sometimes you are wondering, why did I take to this process at all? Who was it who brought me to this movement? Why I have to go through so much suffering? And the whole process of sadhana appears to be very heavy and burdensome. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example that just like if someone is walking with a suitcase, if there is a suitcase and I say that here is a suitcase, it weighs 50 kilos. We want someone to lift it and carry it home. It is full of big stones. Pick it up and carry it with you. We are offering it free. How many people will be interested in taking this suitcase? And also it's a very old suitcase. It's not a brand new suitcase. So there is nothing worth attractive to pick up that suitcase because it's so heavy. But if I say that the stones inside is 24 karat gold biscuits, how many volunteers are there for picking up this suitcase? And immediately there will be many people ready. Many people will be ready to carry this suitcase. And if I tell them, no, you'll get a back pain. Say, don't worry, it is my pain. I'll deal with it. But I am quite eager to carry this. Do you need some help? No, I can do it on my own. And you are carrying it, we are struggling with it, we are sweating over it. But what keeps us going is we know what is inside the suitcase. it is gold. It is heavy, but when I open it, when I reach the destination and I open it, what will be revealed? Pure gold. Therefore, that understanding gives the inspiration to carry this burden. And it is no longer a burden. It becomes just an anticipation for reaching the final destination. So many times our bead bag appears to be heavy, like that. And we think it is so difficult to carry on chanting day in and day out. But if we know that at the end of this journey, what we will receive, that this holy name is Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasavigraha. That this holy name is actually like a touchstone, and when it reveals its glories, our hearts and minds will be inundated with supreme transcendental bliss. And Krishna is waiting in the spiritual world to receive us. So this understanding keeps us going with enthusiasm and prevents us from becoming complacent. And therefore a society of devotees who engage in good quality hearing and chanting, then they can actually develop a very wonderful spiritual community. So as I was mentioning to the brahmacharis a few hours before, there are various steps in building a spiritually vibrant community, a sangha. And the step one is good quality hearing and chanting. When you do good hearing and chanting, then it leads to the stage two, and that is destruction. Destruction of false ego. So when false ego is destroyed, then it leads to stage three, and that is called creation of very genuine spiritual friendships. Only when this false ego is destroyed, spiritual friendships can be created. When devotees develop strong bonds, it leads to the fourth stage, that the devotee become enlivened. And this enlivenment leads them to take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness more intensely. It leads to fifth stage, which is further purification. And that leads to the sixth stage of satisfaction. And then one can actually come to the stage of enjoyment in spiritual life. One starts enjoying the experience of being a devotee. So first seven stages are simply centered around self-development and self-purification. And it begins with stage one of hearing and chanting. Only when one goes through the seven stages, one can come to the next stage, eighth stage, where preaching begins. And the eighth stage is attraction. By seeing a happy devotee, conditioned souls in the outside world who are miserable and in distress are attracted. What attracts a person is a happy devotee. So preaching is nothing but the internal happiness and bliss which a devotee is experiencing, which overflows. So if by the process of bhakti we are not happy, we can't convince others to become devotee. You can't be telling people, you know, you should chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Why are you so miserable? I don't know, it's not working for me. Maybe it'll work for you. You try. That doesn't work. So that attraction is the eighth stage. People are attracted. Why is he happy? Why is he so blissful? And that leads to the ninth stage, that when a person is attracted, he comes to you, then automatically by seeing his miserable condition and your own happy condition, you feel compassion. So compassion can only arise in the heart of a person who has experienced the joy of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, when a miserable conditioned soul comes and a sadhaka himself is miserable, he'll think, okay, he is also like me. So why am I miserable with the bead bag? Forget it. Let us both be miserable together outside. So then comes the tenth stage, that such a community of devotees goes on expanding, and that is the expansion stage. And then this whole world can be inundated with Krishna consciousness, And that was the vision of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we hear that the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of the love of God, ate its contents, most important, and then distributed it. Therefore, this principle of developing a powerful Sangha begins with the first stage of strong hearing and chanting, individually and collectively. And then only a strong preaching result or Sangha can be established. Otherwise, we can have various kinds of formula, various kinds of techniques, various methods. But ultimately, if it is not based on this principle, it will not give the desired result. So therefore, this is a very important principle. And so Srila Prabhupada, in all the temples, he emphasized on this concept of strong hearing and chanting. Once Srila Prabhupada was giving class, and devotees were not there for the class. And Prabhupada said, where are the devotees? And they said, they are out cleaning and, you know, doing something. And Prabhupada said, we can employ people for cleaning. We can't employ people to sit and hear class. It's not possible. And Srila Prabhupada would say, therefore, if you have a normal, good routine of taking prasad and resting and perform your service properly, then you will be in a position to have quality hearing and chanting. So Prabhupada said, if someone sleeps too much, he will become lazy, and if he sleeps too little, he will become crazy. Therefore, one should not sleep too much, too little, but have a proper sadhana in his life, leading a regulated way of life in Krishna consciousness. And this is the first very powerful challenge. And how Hanumanji dealt with it is very significant, that he just touched his hand upon the golden mountain and then went ahead and said, no, I cannot be complacent, I cannot rest, I have to go further. And therefore, when we are faced with proposals of relaxing, then we should take the Sangha of devotees seriously. And in that Sangha, we should see that with the help of other devotees, I can progress and get inspiration in hearing and chanting. Then Hanumanji goes ahead, and then he comes across a powerful demoness who is in the form of a goddess of snakes, and her name is Surasa. She is mother of the Nagas, and she has her mouth wide open, and she says to Hanumanji that you cannot go ahead unless you enter into my mouth. So Hanumanji says that I am in a hurry and I cannot do this. And Surasa says that I have received this benediction from Lord Brahma. So she opens her mouth. And Hanumanji also increases his size, 20 yojanas. Surasa becomes 30 yojanas. Hanumanji becomes 40 yojanas. She becomes 60 yojanas. Hanumanji becomes 80 yojana. And finally she becomes 100 yojanas. And Hanumanji just changes his form and becomes very tiny, insignificant, enters into her mouth and comes out and says, I have fulfilled the benediction. So now you must allow me to go ahead. And Surasa says, that is very intelligent on your part, and therefore I cannot stop you. And this is the second challenge which we have to face, and that is with respect to our service. Second aspect of our bhakti, apart from sadhana, is seva or service. And the biggest challenge which comes in service is the competitive spirit, that one develops a spirit of competition because of the influence of the false ego. Therefore, the nature of false ego is, whenever you do something good, whenever I do something good, I feel I am so great. So many times people feel, why should I give so much of emphasis on sadhana? Service is more important. Because without declaring early in the morning that, O Krishna, O Radharani, I am your servant, you are my master, whatever I do in the day is simply for you and will be inspired by you, and the energy and the strength and the intelligence for fulfillment of this service will be given by you. Without making this declaration, if we do the service, naturally we start thinking, I have done this service. and therefore the feeling of false ego is prominent. And then there are many talented people who will do many services, but because the whole attitude is because of false ego, then there will be feeling of competition and conflict. Therefore, this is a very significant principle. Just like someone was telling this story in a Bhagavatam class here, that there was a very strict Brahman, and whatever he would do, he was very, very pakka about it. He would do all of his pujas and rituals exactly on time, never miss anything. So once it was time for his noon Gayatri, and he was sleeping, and Kali personified appeared and woke him up and said, "Hey, it is time for your Gayatri, get up." He got up, washed himself, and then did his Gayatri, and then turned to this person and said, "Who are you? Thank you so much for waking me up. Otherwise, it would have been a great sin." And this person said, "I am Kali personified." And the Brahman said, "What? Kali personified? You are supposed to oppose principles of religion. You are assisting me in performing my dharmic duties. Have you given up your old ways? How is it that you woke me up?" And Kali said, "You have such a massive false pride that you are such a great pakka person who follows all the rules and regulations strictly. You have such a high opinion about yourself. If you had missed performing this Gayatri, you would have repented like anything. And because of this repentance, you would have felt too much humble. And because of that humility, you would have made tremendous spiritual advancement. Therefore, I woke you up so that you could perform this Gayatri and still think I am great." So that feeling of thinking I am great is very good to stop your spiritual progress. Therefore, this false pride is a very great impediment, and this is the second kind of impediment which comes, the obstacle which comes, and we can see that Hanumanji was increasing in size and Surasa was increasing her size, and each one was trying to establish supremacy over another. So Prabhupada says that in spiritual practice, in spiritual life, there may be differences of opinion. But when we are committed to cooperate and work together, then we do not take these differences of opinion seriously, because we know that our final destination is one. And it is only because of false ego that we may think my way is better than your way, my opinion is better than your opinion. But spiritual life, there is facility for many opinions to be true. And therefore, there is no need to indulge in this competition. And many times, because of our previous background, we are always used to limited seats. In college exams, limited seats, limited admissions. If you go for jobs, limited job seats are available. So we are always spending our time dealing with limited offers and limited seats. So when we come to spiritual life also, we may think that in spiritual world there are limited seats and we have very limited opportunity, and therefore I have to go ahead to get the place first. Otherwise, if someone else goes, I won't get the place. But it is not like that. Vaikuntha airplanes are all traveling empty, and especially in Kali Yuga, there is no one eager to go back home, back to Godhead. So there is no need for anxiety. So Giriraj Maharaj tells this story that in Kumbh Mela, once this was kind of a difference of opinion between two devotees. And this was a discussion about Balramji. And Yamuna Mataji was saying that this Balramji, Bhavanand Prabhu was saying that this Krishna and Balram, both of them are similar, they are Bhagwan, but they are different because Krishna is black and Balram is white. And Yamuna Mataji was saying, no, the difference is only Krishna enjoys with Radharani, not Balram. And then both were having their arguments back and forth. And then the matter came to Srila Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was presenting to Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, Bhavanand Prabhu is saying difference between Krishna and Balram is Krishna is black and Balramji is white." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, he is right. He said, but Mataji is saying that only Krishna enjoys with Radharani. That is the difference. And Prabhupada said, she's right. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but Prabhupada, both are saying two different things. How can both be right? And he said, Prabhupada said, you are right. Then he said, but Prabhupada, what is the right answer? And Prabhupada said, you decide. And then he said, that in spiritual life, do not think that one point of view is correct means another point of view is wrong. One way of doing things is right means another way is wrong. There could be various ways of doing the same thing, various paths of reaching the same destination. And most of the conflicts arise because each person thinks that my way is the only way and there is no other way. And therefore, unnecessary competition, unnecessary conflicts, and all kinds of problems arise. Therefore, how Hanumanji dealt with this situation, he just became very small. So if there is a conflict, at least one person has to take the humble position. And then when he takes the humble position, automatically things can be resolved. And then we can move ahead and go ahead with the actual business, that is Krishna consciousness. So Hanumanji had a mission, and the mission was not competing with who is taller and who is bigger. The mission was to reach Lanka, and therefore Hanumanji understood this is an obstacle and he went ahead. And then he came across, and as Hanumanji was progressing, suddenly he found his movement is arrested, and he looked down and saw that there was this lady who was holding Hanumanji by his shadow and dragging him down. And Hanumanji immediately came down through that energy, decreased his size, entered through her mouth into her heart, crushed her heart and killed her. And this demoness was Simhika, and she represents the third challenge, and that is with respect to relationships. The third aspect which a devotee has in his practice of bhakti is relationships with other devotees. And the biggest obstacle in dealing with relationships is envy. And this demoness Simhika represents envy, because envy means not considering all the good qualities of a person, simply seeing the dark side of a person's character, latching on to it, dragging him down, and trying to assassinate his character, destroy his integrity, and crush him to powder. And this is the characteristic of envy. And as long as envy is there within the heart, we will not be able to appreciate devotees. And if we cannot appreciate devotees, we cannot take shelter of devotees. If we cannot take shelter of devotees, we cannot take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, this envy is a great challenge. And hence, envy is something which cannot be used in Krishna's service. Giriraj Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada that, how can we utilize envy? And Prabhupada said, you can utilize envy by criticizing the atheists and criticizing the Mayavadis. So if you are envious, then you are allowed to be envious against those who are envious of Krishna. Otherwise, in the Sangha of devotees, it becomes an impediment. And one person came to Srila Prabhupada and he was complaining to Prabhupada and explaining to Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, my authority is not chanting his rounds properly. He's not chanting his 16 rounds. And Srila Prabhupada could detect that this person is complaining because he wants to find fault and doesn't want to surrender. And he said, he's not chanting 16 rounds. And Prabhupada's reply was, did Arjuna chant 16 rounds on Battle of Kurukshetra? Was Arjuna sitting and chanting 16 rounds? He was fighting. So therefore you don't worry about it. So basically this incident cannot be taken as an example which Prabhupada is setting, that, oh, that's a good one. was Arjuna chanting? I never thought about it. If I had thought about it, maybe I would have chanted less. But this quotation Prabhupada made to point out to him that at this stage you should concern yourself with your own business. And you should not find fault, because the reason you are pointing this out is out of envy. And that is not good. And therefore, this principle of envy is very strong. And it can only be crushed. We cannot use it and utilize it in Krishna's service. We have to overcome it. And the principle of overcoming it is by serving the devotees and by glorifying the devotees. And then Hanumanji goes ahead, and then he comes across the fourth challenge, and that is Lankini, the goddess in charge of Lanka. And she is standing there, and she stops Hanumanji and says, "This is Ravana's property, you cannot enter." And how does Hanumanji react? Hanumanji just slaps her. And when he slaps Simika, she just jumps behind several feet, and she comes with folded hands and said, "Sorry, I did not know that you are so powerful, and now I know that Ravana's destruction is near. Because Lord Brahma had predicted the day a monkey comes and slaps you, that is the end of Lanka. So I think the day has come." So this Simhika, Lankini represents challenge in the fourth aspect of our bhakti, which is preaching. So we discussed about sadhana, about service, about relationships. And the fourth aspect is preaching. And the challenge is that there will be opposition to our preaching. You try to give holy name, try to give Krishna to others, immediately you will find challenge. "No, don't come here. Hare Krishna, get out." So is there anyone who has managed to meet only favorable people in his preaching career in Krishna consciousness? Impossible. In fact, one devotee was saying that as soon as people start criticizing you about your Krishna consciousness, and many times people, especially close friends, they will make the first comments. When we become devotee, the first comments come from close family or relatives and friends. And they tell us, "Pahle tum normal the. Previously you were normal." So they may not directly criticize, but they start doubting, and that plants doubt in our mind. Or previously we used to go, sometimes I would go for book distribution with some devotees in the nearby houses next to Babulnath temple. And if you go and press the button on the door, then they will look from the hole. And as soon as they see shaved head, from inside only they will say, "We have all the books. We have everything. We are all devotee. Get lost." So they have the answer that we don't want any Hare Krishna inside. So many times I would take some college boy with me who had normal hair and make him stand in front of the door and ring the bell, and they would look and say, "Oh, normal, someone has come." They'll open, I'll put the feet and get in and show the book. Opposition is guaranteed, because nobody wants to take to this process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in MIT, and he was telling the students, "Okay, your college is known as MIT, but where is Almighty here? Where is knowledge of Almighty?" And after a class at Harvard, one boy stood up and asked Srila Prabhupada, "So Swamiji, what is the use of this mark on your forehead? What is the meaning of the mark on this forehead? Why are you carrying this mark upon your forehead?" And Prabhupada immediately retorted and said, "Why are you carrying this cloth around your neck, the tie?" And this gentleman just looked down at his tie, and he had never thought about it. And he kept looking and standing for a few minutes and just quietly sat down, because he had not thought why he is wearing tie. And then Prabhupada said, "When you get a chance for asking questions, you should ask relevant questions, not useless questions. Because questions can be asked, but depending on the person you are dealing with, you have to ask proper question. Just like in Kumbh Mela, we put up stalls saying questions and answers. प्रश्न और उत्तर. एंड मेनी पिलग्रिम्स वुड कम एंड टेल दैट व्हाइल टेकिंग बाथ वी हैड अवर पर्स केप्ट देयर एंड इट गॉट स्टोलन, कैन यू टेल अस वेयर इट इज. सो आई सेड दिस इज नॉट पुलिस स्टेशन, दिस इज अ बूथ फॉर आंसरिंग स्पिरिचुअल क्वेरीज. एंड मेनी पीपल वुड कम एंड आस्क आर दीज आंसर्स फ्री और वी हैव टू पे समथिंग. And then when you would say it is free, then they would indicate and 15 people would come from behind. So we have answers to the questions, but very few people are interested in asking the relevant questions and knowing the answers to these questions. And rather than trying to understand and appreciate, there will only be opposition. We don't want this. We don't want this. Therefore, a preacher who is not so convinced will think, maybe it's a very difficult task and one may become morose and depressed and may give up. But how Hanumanji dealt with it? Gave a slap, went ahead. That is not something we should do. When there is opposition, the meaning of slap means that we should not fall back, but we should go ahead confidently with conviction that we are representing Krishna's mission. Someone told Srila Prabhupada in an airport, Srila Prabhupada, when we will have our own airport? Prabhupada said, this is our airport. It belongs to Krishna and we are his servants. Therefore, Lankini was thinking this is Ravan's Lanka. But Hanumanji was convinced this is all Ram's property and therefore no one can stop us from giving his message. Therefore, we have the example of His Holiness Bhaktitirth Maharaj and so many other devotees. With their glorious example, they were pushing this preaching mission in the most difficult places. Just recently in Seattle, one of his disciples was narrating this story that they were traveling in communist Russia and they were carrying around 10,000 Bhagavad Gita. And they had to take 10,000 Bhagavad Gita into one of the communist countries. And you can imagine if they are caught, they'll be finished. So they were so fearless. What they did was they had a big van. They loaded it with 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And they sat in that van and took a big dog along with them. Dog. And when they came to the police checkpost, the security immediately saw the dog and said, you can't carry the dog into this country. Dogs are not allowed. We are totally against bringing dogs. And they said, no, but this dog is very dear to us. He's family member. He's like this, he's like that. So then he took out all the rules and regulations and said, see, animals are not allowed, especially dogs are not allowed. And they made a big scene about the whole dog. And for 20 minutes there was argument going on about what should happen with the dog. And then finally these two devotees driving the van said, okay, since you are insisting no dog, we surrender to you and we release the dog. And they left the dog and the dog went running and the security watching the dog going into the forest and went behind the dog making sure that it went back into the other side of the border and then allowed them to go and forgot about checking the other part of the van. And 10,000 Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, entered into communist areas by the mercy of dog. So, my hair stood on end when I heard this story, that how much of guts is required, what kind of fearlessness is required to take such risks, because we are always calculating, you know, if this happens, this will happen, if he does this, this will happen. And just by thinking so much, we don't have so much of guts to engage in this kind of activities. And as Chandramouli Maharaj was explaining, that His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was willing to take any kind of risks and go through a lot of trouble in preaching, even in countries like Africa, where he was about to be crowned as the king of, or they call it a chief of some tribal group. And the others did not like it, so they did some spell. And as he was driving in a car, at a certain point, because of certain tantric things they had done, the car just turned over and everyone would have died. But miraculously, no one was hurt. And he got up from that place and came walking by for that ceremony. And all the other ministers were bewildered. They said, how did you survive? It is not possible for anyone to survive this kind of a spell which we cast on people. So he was going through this kind of opposition. And Chandramouli Maharaj was saying that one time the airplanes are in such dilapidated condition that some of the flights got cancelled. And the airline company announced that now we have only one airplane, but people from three cancelled flights are there. So there is place for only a few people. So what we are going to do is, all of you should stand in a line here. And from this line, we will make the announcement. When we make the announcement, all of you run towards the plane. There will be a race. And the first 100 people who reach will get the place. So it was like a, you know, race. And he said he was willing to go through this kind of a thing. It is ridiculous. But this is the kind of dedication he had all through his entire Krishna conscious preaching career. A fantastic example of fearless preaching. And this is what Hanumanji is demonstrating. And so, this Lankini also represents false ego. And when the spiritual master or guru or Krishna's representative carrying the message of Krishna comes to the conditioned soul, then the first opposition is from the false ego. The false ego thinks, I know everything and I do not want any entry of any other message. And therefore the false ego is a humble servant of the conditioned mind, as Lankini was a humble servant of Ravana. And therefore Gita says, the first requirement for understanding spiritual knowledge is amanitvam. That means humility and pridelessness. And as long as this false ego is there, the message cannot enter. So Hanumanji enters into Lanka, takes the form of a small cat, the size of a small cat, and is traveling through the precincts of Lanka, searching for Janaki ji. This is the mission of his life. He is having great love and devotion for Lord Ram, and he cannot tolerate to see the suffering condition his dear most worshipable Lord is going through. Thinking about Ram constantly, he is trying to find out where Sita Devi would be. And he is traveling through the various palaces of Ravana. And then finally he comes to the palace where Ravana himself is sleeping. And then he sees Ravan surrounded by all of his beautiful queens. It's the middle of the night. The queens of Ravan are sleeping in various states of undress. And Hanumanji is searching for Janaki ji in the midst of all of these beautiful young women. None of these women had any kind of defect of any type. They were all spotlessly, immaculately perfect in beauty, in all good qualities. At this stage, Hanumanji starts thinking, Kamam drishtam maya srishta visrishta ravanastriya. What am I doing? I am a brahmachari. I have come here in the middle of the night and I am glancing upon all of these beautiful queens of Ravan in the middle of the night who are not properly dressed. Is it that I have destroyed the principles of dharma? Is what I am doing sinful? And then he says, Natume manasa kinchit vaikrityam upapadyate. So then he introspects and says that within the core of my mind, I am pure in my motive and intent. I have not jumped from the forest on the other side to Lanka searching for beautiful girls. It is not that Hanumanji was feeling lonely there. And therefore he thought, let me go to Lanka and at least I'll see so many queens of Ravan. That will be a good chance. And none of the other monkey soldiers will also be there. This is a good chance for me to go there. That was not the motive which brought him there. His motive was pure. Lanka was corrupt because the corrupt law of the land was being run by Ravan. But Hanuman had gone with a pure motive in a corrupt land. But by the power of his purity, he maintained his consciousness. And therefore, if anyone carrying the message of the Lord wants to rescue other souls, he has to deal with the negative energies surrounding that soul. He has to deal with all the agents of the mind. Ravana represents the mind, and all the beautiful queens and the royal paraphernalia in the palace of Lanka are just like various kinds of material desires and anarthas and conditionings. So when we are preaching to someone, we are trying to enter through his mind and touch the soul. But when you are trying to save a person, we have to deal with his conditioned mind. And if we are not strong enough, his conditioned, natured mind will affect us. And rather than saving him, we will get influenced and we will get sucked in by those material energies. And ultimately, we will end up in difficulty. And many, many preachers in the past have had difficulties because they have gone one step beyond their capacity. So therefore, purity is the force. But depending on the level of purity we have, to that extent only we can take risks. It was Hanumanji who could dare to enter into Lanka. So therefore, if we are not at that level, then we should know, whatever is the level of our purity, to that extent only we can provide help. Otherwise, if we become contaminated, then the whole purpose is lost. Therefore, generally I give this example of kabaddi. Preacher should just preach just like in kabaddi game. You are playing kabaddi, 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 and you go to the other side. But if you spend too much time just saying kabaddi, kabaddi, then everyone catches you. And you can't come back. Then what is the point? And someone may be very thin and not so much powerful. So he'll just go one step, say kabaddi, kabaddi, come back. Not do anything, but at least he has saved himself. That is a big thing he has done. And if someone is very powerful, very strong, huge, 6'5", very powerful and big, built big, he can go straight into the other camp, peacefully saying, kabaddi, 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 and just stand there, allow everyone to catch him. If everyone catches him, he turns around and brings everyone back, kabaddi, kabaddi. That was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada went to New York City saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And invited everyone, catch me, touch me. Everyone caught hold of him, and then Prabhupada just turned around and said, Hare Krishna, come in. And people became devotees before even they realized it. Satsarup Maharaj writes that Prabhupada went to one rock festival, which was filled with people doing all kinds of things. And we can't even imagine what kind of situation it is. And Prabhupada entered and it was all smoke. It was not Agarbatti smoke. It was all different types of chemicals being burnt. And then Prabhupada saw on the stage a group of people were dressed up as banana. And Prabhupada asked, what is this? And they said, this is banana dance. Prabhupada said, what does it mean? He said, recently they found that banana peel, when you put fire underneath, the smoke which it gives the same effect like LSD. So they have found a cheap alternative to LSD, so they are excited about it, so they are celebrating it with this banana dance. And Prabhupada started laughing. He said, when I was in India, I have seen and heard and used banana in various ways. But never I knew that banana has such a use also. And then Prabhupada did his program, gave the class, did a kirtan and came back. And then one devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said that the hippies have approached us and said they will send one crate of bananas every day for Lord Jagannath. On one condition, they want the peels back for their use. What should we do? So Prabhupada said that I never knew when I came to US, I will have to face these kind of situations. But since they have an eagerness to give something to Krishna, let them give, because by giving to Krishna, gradually they will become purified. So let us accept this offer. So this is the kind of preaching spirit Srila Prabhupada had. And he was so pure, so potent, that he could enter straight into Maya's kingdom, capture people and bring them on the other side. But if we are not pure enough, then we should know we have our limitations. Therefore, Hanumanji was seeing this, but he is saying, Natu me manasa kinchit vaikrityam upapadyate. I am seeing all of these queens of Ravan, but my mind is not agitated. And therefore, I am pure. And so, my motive is simply to please Krishna. Also, when we are dealing in the preaching mission, we have to deal with many other aspects which may not be directly related to Krishna, but we are using those things in Krishna's service. Therefore, we have to be very careful not to be influenced by them. And so, in the preaching mission, one has to deal with money, position, and so many other things. But we should be in this consciousness, introspecting whether my motives are remaining pure or not. Then Hanumanji went ahead. Then he saw one lady and he thought this must be Sita. But he said, no, no, it cannot be Sita. And then he found out that was Mandodari. And then Hanumanji became very much disturbed and distressed, because his mission was to find Janakiji, and he was not able to find her. And therefore, when a devotee experiences failure in his mission, he goes through a traumatic experience. And this traumatic experience is seen in three phases. The first phase is Hanumanji went into depression. And he started thinking, what has happened? And he started thinking that, okay, I have come all the way here and I have not been able to find Sita Devi. And just imagine how the monkeys will ridicule me when I return back. So this is the first thing we start thinking, what has happened? We start analyzing the problem. Then, this depression leads to the second stage, doubt. Why it has happened? And Hanumanji started thinking, oh, maybe what happened was that when Sita Devi was being carried on this chariot on the Pushpak Viman by Ravana, she just dropped out and fell down. Or maybe Ravana was so angry, he chopped Sita into pieces and ate her up. Or maybe she could not tolerate separation from Sri Ram and so committed suicide. And so we start analyzing with our own intelligence why it has happened. And then this doubt leads to the third stage. And third stage is, now what will happen? That is fear. So depression leads to doubt, and doubt leads to fear. And Hanumanji became fearful. Now if I go back and inform Lord Ram that I could not find Sita, what will be Lord Ram's reaction? He will commit suicide. When Lord Ram commits suicide, Lakshman cannot tolerate living in separation from Lord Ram. Lakshman will commit suicide. When the news reaches Ayodhya that Ram and Lakshman are gone, Bharat and Shatrughan will commit suicide. When the mothers come to know that Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughan are gone, then Kaushalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, they will commit suicide. When Sugriva and Angad come to know that because of our failure, all of these great personalities left their bodies, they will commit suicide. And when Sugriva and Angad commit suicide, all the monkey soldiers will commit suicide. So if so many people are going to commit suicide, let me better commit suicide here. So Hanumanji started thinking like that. And he went through a whole series of suicidal thoughts. So this is the reaction of the mind, where the mind goes through a series of doubts. And this is known as fear. And therefore, even though there may be problems and failure in the mission, one should not feel morose. One should have hope that Krishna is there to protect, and Krishna will provide that protection. So similarly, Hanumanji also decided that the only way to overcome this moroseness is to take shelter of Lord Ram. So he thought of Lord Ram. And then as soon as he took shelter of Lord, the Lord was very merciful, immediately showed him the presence of a beautiful tree, and that was the Ashok Vatika. Hanumanji saw that and jumped. And then from the top of the tree he could see Sita Devi. And he could see Ravana came and tried to entice Sita Devi. And now Hanumanji was seeing how Ravana was trying to entice and threaten Sita Devi, but Sita Devi was not interested at all. Rejected all of his proposals, chastised him and sent Ravana away. And Ravana stomped out of Ashok Vatika angrily. And therefore, this was a very important part of his observation, because by this, Hanumanji got convinced that yes, Sita Devi is eager to come back to Lord Ram. And so, when a guru or an acharya or a person representing the Supreme Lord comes to a conditioned soul, then there are five symptoms which he sees, which convinces him that this soul is eager to go back to the Lord. And when a guru sees these symptoms in a disciple, then that confirms that yes, this soul is eager, ready, desperate, greedy to go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. And what are these five symptoms? The first symptom which Hanumanji saw in Sita was ekagrata. Ekagrata means complete concentration and focus. So Sita Devi was completely focused on what she was wanting to achieve. That is, only Lord Ram and nothing else. So this focus was there. And therefore, it is described that a devotee is not interested in any other kind of sense gratification. Although Ravana was offering Sita Devi so many enticements, you can become my queen, you can be queen of Lanka, all the other queens will serve you. But a serious devotee interested in going back to Godhead rejects all other proposals. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and it was like a grand reunion of many of his disciples. And Srila Prabhupada had called all the local Brajavasis, and Prabhupada, he made a statement that all of these disciples of mine, they are so committed to me, they will not leave me even if you give them 1 crore rupees. And everyone started clapping their hand. And all the disciples also started clapping hand. And Prabhupada said, wait, not so soon. Nobody has offered you 1 crore so far. Once they offer you and then you reject, then it can be known. But still, I have faith that because you have given up so much and come, therefore you are committed. And so a devotee rejects all other proposals and is focused. The second symptom he shows is that adhya vasaya, absolute faith in the Lord's mercy, that the Lord will protect in all circumstances. Because Ravana was threatening what that Ram will do. He is simply a naked man moving in the forest. I am such a powerful fellow, I will destroy you, I will destroy everyone. So in Lanka, under the captivity of Ravana, so many times the conditioned mind convinces us that you are finished. You have to take my shelter only. What is this Krishna and Ram and Hare you are chanting every day? Nothing is going to help you. You were a good disciple of mine before. Now you are trying to go away from me. You should not reject me. Come back to me. And the way the mind convinces us, we again take shelter of the mind. But Sita Devi did not listen to any of these proposals. She had faith that Ram will come and save me and protect me. And this faith we should have even though we may go through difficulties. And this faith a devotee has because he has understanding of Krishna's power. He knows that if I go through these difficulties, Krishna will ultimately help me. Just like I give this example, that Suppose we are doing prasadam service, like many times we do prasadam service. And when the servers are serving, then one of the anxieties the servers have sometimes is that the prasadam will get over. Because so many people keep coming. And especially in our temple, it's like a long line. And sometimes you keep looking at the line, and it never ends. It goes on and on and on. So the server will be in anxiety. And many times because of that anxiety, he stops giving properly. He gives less and less and less. So sometimes what we do is we make a plate for the server in advance, so that he is not in anxiety. So you make the plate and keep it nicely, put a newspaper on top so that it is not seen also. But it is safe, secure, proper plate, full of prasadam. Then he is smiling. And then while serving, he has a smile on his face, serving peacefully. Even if the prasadam is getting over and people say, "Hey, prasadam is getting over, what about you?" No. Vaishnav Seva. That is the goal of life, no problem. You eat, you enjoy, no problem. From suddenly, where this conviction has come? Because he knows, even if this gets over, mercy is there. So therefore, prasad means mercy, and Krishna's mercy is there. Although we may go through all kinds of difficulties, if we are sincere in serving Krishna, then Krishna's reciprocation is there. Therefore, there are four aspects in bhakti. The first aspect is Gatir Krishna. Gatir Krishna means keeping goal as Krishna. So when you keep the goal as Krishna, Gatir Krishna says in Gita, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit. So Krishna is the goal. And if you keep Krishna as the goal, you start your practice. And as Kunti Maharani says, that Matir Krishna, that your intelligence is now dedicated towards Krishna and you want to engage in Krishna's service. Matir Madhupate Asakrit, Kunti Maharani says. So Matir Krishna means you are perseverant. So if you persevere with your intelligence to achieve the Gati Krishna, then you develop Ratir Krishna. Ganga Vobhaum Ivambhasi, that the Rati or the attraction towards Krishna develops. And then one realizes Krishna as Patir Krishna. Shriya Patir, Yajna Patir, Loka Patir, Dharam Patir, Dhyaya Patir, Patir Gatis Chandaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati. That Krishna is the supreme Pati, the supreme husband. And therefore Sita Devi was separated from Lord Ram, but she was always aware that ultimately I have to be united with my Pati, with my Lord and Master Lord Ram. So every soul's Pati is actually Krishna. He is Shriyapati, Yajyapatir, Dhyapatir, Dharampatir. And ultimately we will get that realization. Therefore we should have Gatir Krishna, Matir Krishna, Ratir Krishna, and then one will realize Krishna as Patir Krishna. And therefore, as far as faith is concerned, this sustains our faith that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And then third is, when Hanumanji appeared right in front of Sita Devi, Sita Devi saw monkey. Generally if we see monkey, we don't develop feeling of respect. It is not someone we would like to take as our companion for an important business meeting in a 5-star hotel, carry a monkey along. It's not very fashionable. So now, although Hanumanji had appeared in the form of a monkey, Sita Devi from her side could have judged him by the externals. But because he spoke the message of Lord Ram, what Sita considered was, he is representing Lord Ram and he is giving Ram's message. That is most important. Someone who delivers Ram's message can be in any body, with any birth, from any country, with any color. But that is not important. I should respect him, however difficult it may be to respect me based upon his externals. But because he is representing Krishna's message, Lord Ram's message, that deserves adar. So this is the third aspect, that a prospective candidate going back to Godhead has reverence, respect, adar for a messenger of the Lord. And this kind of reverence was demonstrated by Sita Devi. And this leads to the fourth stage. If you have respect, then that leads to anusuya, and that is non-envy. So the messenger may speak, but when there is envy in the heart, it creates three difficulties. When we hear someone speaking Krishna Katha, and when we are envious, if we are too envious, the first thing we do is reject the message. We say, he is speaking, this cannot be true. Reject. Second, we doubt the veracity of the message. We develop doubt in our mind that whether it is true or not, who knows. And then the third is, we may hear the message, but we will twist the meaning and create something else out of it and not understand anything at all. So rejecting, doubting and twisting the message are the three things which a hearer may do when there is envy in the heart. And so when Hanumanji was presenting the message of Lord Ram, Sita Devi did not indulge in these things, but simply accepted the message as it is. Therefore, the nature of twisted intelligence is to try to find out some different types of meanings and try to reject the message. Just like this story is, you know, being spoken in our Brahmacharya Ashram many times. One time there was a farmer, and this farmer was having a bull, and the bull was moving around a well and taking out water, like in villages they do for irrigation. So logician came and saw this bull. The bull was having one ghanti around its neck, bell, and when the bull was moving, the bell was ringing, ting, 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 ting. And so this logician came and asked the farmer, what is the purpose of this bell? And the farmer said, I am working in the fields and I do not know whether my bull is working or not. So when the bull moves, the bell moves, creates sound, so I know that the bull is working. So the logician said, what if the bull stands at one place and shakes his head and still the sound comes ting, 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 how you will know? So the farmer said, he is a bull, not a logician like you. And therefore, if he is told to do something, he will just do that. But when the brain is twisted, even out of simple situation, you will draw out something complicated. So here, Sita Devi could have thought that, why this monkey has come? Why is he speaking like this? And so many other thoughts, but because he presented the message properly and showed the symbols which Lord Ram had sent, that convinced her and she just accepted it. And this simple acceptance is very important. It's a sign of non-envy. And the fifth stage is Hanumanji saw that she was eager, lauliam, eager and desperate to go back to Lord Ram. And that eagerness definitely attracted his attention. And in this way, Hanumanji was very much inspired by seeing the example of Sita Devi. And Sita Devi accepted the message of Lord Ram. And then Hanumanji comes back after destroying various parts of Lanka, because he also wants to assist in destroying the other anarthas. And then in this way we find that the soul in separation from the Supreme Lord has only one hope if the Lord's messenger comes and delivers the message. And all we have to do is accept this message with a simple heart, with faith and dedication, and then practice the message. And so Hanumanji already demonstrated his qualifications for being a messenger by going through these four obstacles and showing his exemplary behavior. That is what a guru is supposed to do. Someone came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I have a guru. When he touches me, I get an electric shock. Prabhupada said, there is a socket. Put your hand in that. You will get a bigger electric shock. That is not purpose of guru, to give shocks. Maya Devi is already giving shocks. Adi Devik, Adhyatmik, Adi Bhautik. But the purpose of guru is to reveal what is the message of the Lord. See the condition of the soul. Go back to the Supreme Lord. And then what does Hanumanji get in response? Lord Ram embraces him. So he is simply eager to please the Lord, receive his embrace and participate in this pastime of helping the soul come out of his conditioned state and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is a very, very inspiring pastime for all of us in our own Krishna consciousness, and we can definitely try to apply these principles in our lives. And we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada who has given us this wonderful opportunity within the society of ISKCON to practice Krishna consciousness, purify our existence and go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions? What is the purpose of religion? There are so many religions, Hindu, Muslim, Christianity. These religions have their own philosophy. Is there anything common in them? What is spiritual life? Why should we practice when one is young? If you are lost on a highway and you have to get out of that lost condition and reach your home, you need a guide map. So anyone says, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am this, I am that, I am going to this organization, this Pantha, this Baba, this Swami, this Yogi, this organization. There are only three questions you should ask. 99.9% will not know answers to these three questions. And if you don't know answers to these three questions, then you are not practicing spiritual life. So you should know these three questions so that you can ask them. What are these three questions? Question number one, where are you, sir, right now? Question number two, what is your final destination? Question number three, what is the shortest and surest path you are going to take from your current location to your final destination? Be rest assured that 99% will not know, because nobody explains to them. In fact, majority will not have the first answer only. Where are you? They say Bombay, India. But what is the context with reference to the entire creation? So therefore, when you are lost, you need a map. If you don't have a map, you can't get out. But what is map? Map is simply a series of lines. Red, blue, yellow lines and dots and names. And you are sitting here next to Bharati Vidya Bhavan and you are lost and you want to go to Borivali and you have a map of Bombay. But you don't really know which part of the map is showing Bharati Vidya Bhavan and where you are. So how will you find, how will you trace the path? So Bhagavad Gita is like the map. And the problem is nobody is teaching people how to read the map. People are involved only in memorizing the map. So if you memorize every page of the map, that will not help. If you just memorize that I know all the stations which come on the way, and then you memorize right from Grant Road, go on to Dadar and up to Borivali, all the stations which come on the way, you memorize. These are the locations which will come. Okay, fine. Now on the map, how will you find the way? That I don't know. But I know by heart. Page number 14 means Dadar. Page number 12 means Parel. But can you find your way out? No. So similarly people say, I know Gita. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yutsava mamaka pandava chaiva kimakurvata sanjaya. But do you know what it means? No. How is it relevant to your practical life as a working man, as a businessman, as a family man? I don't know. Therefore, we need to teach people what is the relevance of those shlokas in their lives, because I am lost. So from a lost condition, I have to find a proper location. So any step you take in life, you know where you are going next, right? As soon as you get up now, as soon as you get up, you know where you are going. Prasadam counter. You know for sure. As soon as you finish prasad, you know where you are going. To your vehicle which is parked. To the bus stop. To the local train station. You know all these things. So every step you take in life, you know. If a boy walks out of the house, and as he's walking out of the house, mother says, Beta, kahan ja raha hai? And he says, Pata nahi. I don't know. Will the mother allow the boy to go? She'll send 3-4 people. Zara dekho yaar, kahan ja raha hai ye? Keh raha hai, pata nahi. Beki beki baate kar raha hai. He's saying, pata nahi. If you go to the office and say, I want to take leave for next 1 week, because I want to go. Where are you going? I don't know. Or you come back from somewhere and boss says, where did you go? I don't know. So, you will be considered crazy. Therefore, as far as life itself is concerned, we don't have answer to this question. Where am I going? And we are passing this whole time very peacefully. Not at all aware that time is running out. Therefore, it may be Hindu, it may be Christian, it may be any religion or any spiritual path. Anyone giving any mantra or any asana or any magic, whatever. If he is able to give you answer to these three questions, then he is bona fide. And therefore, out of these three, we say that in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what we are teaching here, we are taking you to the final destination. That is the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And the process is holy name of chanting Hare Krishna. And that is defined as real dharma in Bhagavatam. Savai pumsan paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaituki apratihata. Prabhupada was giving a presentation. One scholar got up and said, Swamiji, you are saying that holy name is the means. I don't agree. Harinam Sankirtan is not the means. Discussion on philosophy and jnana is the means. Prabhupada said, no, Harinam Sankirtan is the means. And then he said, no, I have quotations from the Upanishads, and started quoting. And Prabhupada said, are you finished? Then he went on. And Prabhupada said, are you finished? Went on further and made so many other quotes. And Prabhupada finally said, okay, now sit down. And then Prabhupada began. And for the next 10 to 15 minutes, Prabhupada just quoted so many scriptures, so many shlokas, so many different quotations which proved beyond doubt that holy name is the only way. Harinam Sankirtan is the only way. And Prabhupada was just going on and on. And then suddenly this man got up and said, can we have Kirtan? He got convinced. Generally, anyone who is into Upanishads and all this other literatures will not be able to appreciate what the devotees are doing, and they may think that this is not the highest method, this holy name and chanting Hare Krishna. But this is the final conclusion given by Lord Chaitanya of the perfection of spiritual life in this age of Kali. As I give this example, Kali Yuga is a yuga where nobody is interested in spiritual life. Generally in exam, passing mark is 33%. At least it used to be before. I think now also it is 33% only. But if there is such a batch, that the highest that person in the batch gets is 25%. How can 33% be passing mark? Because everyone is failing. If everyone is failing, there will be big administrative problem where you will accommodate the whole batch. So therefore, the authorities bring down the passing marks. Many times they do the relative grading. And they bring down the passing marks and say, okay, because the whole batch is so dull, passing mark is 7%. New adjusted passing mark, right? So Kali Yuga is like that Yuga. Whole batch is duffer. Forget passing, nobody interested in entering exam hall. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is standing at the door and requesting, please come and sit at least. Don't even write the exam, I will write the exam. Come and sit and I will give prasad also. And still we look at him and said, why should I sit? Why should I write the exam? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most merciful, munificent incarnation. He is giving full marks. Just for coming, standing, raising hands. Parama karuna pahu dui jana. Nitai Gaura Chandra, Sab Avatara Sarashiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. This method is nothing but only bliss. Kevala Ananda Kanda. What happens in a party? You go, dance, sing, discuss, eat, come back. And here, 5 o'clock in the morning party begins. Mangalarti. So, chanting, dancing, feasting. So, it is such a simple process, but because of our complex conditioned mind, even this most simple process is seen as very difficult, very troublesome, and we just become tired thinking, oh, full life I have to chant, full life I have to go on like this. How will I do it? How will I make it? And then the mind creates complications from within. Therefore, we need the Sangha of devotees. And this Sangha which we have at Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir at Chopati is so wonderful. So many people are coming every Sunday. One of the biggest Sunday feasts in the whole world. Such an intense, powerful sound vibration is created by the chanting of Hare Krishna here, which you can't imagine. And therefore all we have to do is take this association seriously, take the inspiration from this association, and try our level best to practice the process of Krishna consciousness and perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Tai Gopi Manande. Now we'll have kirtan.